My left. Okay, the right side wins. You can get one more verse. Which one? Two, three, or four? Four? There's no four. All right, verse three.
In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to nations of love, singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. In heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory and light. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. Hey, 259. 259. 259. Jesus saves.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. When the tide is all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Mark the seas and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Two, across the page, 260.
Tis the grand dust theme through the ages. Tis the grand dust theme for a mortal. The grandest dream that the world ever saw. Our God is King in liberty. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him. For as our God is King to deliver thee.
215, 215. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows filled me with joy. He made all the troubles gone. When at the cross the Savior came, my sins were washed away. Heaven came down in glory, filled my soul. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
See how long you're going to hold it. Oh, it's over here.
438.
438.
My country's in the sweet land of liberty, on the sea, land where my father died, friends of the
429. 205. All right. Keeps me singing.
And there's within my heart a melody. Jesus is so sweet and bold. If not I am with thee, peace be still. If not of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Over here. Yes, sir. You. 364. 364. All right. Standing on the promises.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, let us shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Brother John, why don't you come on ahead? See if we can answer any questions.
Okay. Here's a family, spirituality question. March 15th, they had how many baptisms? March 15th. Yes? Got your little booklet? Okay. I can do that. Very good. Okay. Here's a family question. A very important person showed up at the Ferguson's door on the 18th.
Elijah David.
Yep, Elijah David, their son. Come on, let me stamp your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all can't watch till you bring up the papers. Here's a church question. The Ruth Youth Rally experienced something that we also experienced. Yeah, a broken van, which miraculously got fixed for them. We're still working on it.
Miracles are coming.
Yes, amen. Okay, one more question. Church question. July 31st, back to school giveaway. How many bags?
300.
300. You got it. Church. Nice job. Y'all are doing nice jobs on this. I'm glad everybody's reading the letters. It's very helpful for us all.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. So here's the situation with that. If you get three of one of those that you haven't got the free card, you let us know and give to Miss Katie here, and she will get you that card, and you can show your series card. Now, if you just get it on your hand, it's going to be hard to... But if you're going to participate, you got to get a stamp somewhere. Maybe on the forehead, the mark of the... No, that's a different. All right. Amen. Amen. It's a praise. Let's turn one more time over number 334. Maybe stand one last time to get the blood flowing before you sit down for the next hour.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine, make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Father, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon as we go into your word, and Lord, I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct. Lord, would you help us to be attentive, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to receive from your word that which would draw us closer to you. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Sometimes we do the switch up. Acts chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." I want to begin this afternoon with, I got a short message. Why y'all laughing? Even Joel's over here like, yeah, right. It is short. We'll see what happens. I intend to. What's that?
I said it's
not April 1st. I always intend to think, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon and we need to, you know, we just ate. We're sitting here. And so I always intend to. But if God makes it go, no, I'm going to blame God on this. Point number one is this. What does our suffering do? What does our suffering do? I want us to think about that a little bit this afternoon. Is there a purpose in it? Right? Or is suffering just part of the Christian life? It's just it. You know, it's just hard. Life is hard. Just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Life is just hard. This is the way it is. But the answer to this question, your answer to this question, or my answer to the question, really, can really be the difference maker on enduring hardness and enduring difficulty and enduring persecution. And really, we have to somewhat really answer that for ourselves. We might say, you know, whether God has an intended purpose or not, or this and that, really, is there even a purpose in it? You know, when we ask that question, we have to have that answer for ourselves. Is there a purpose in what I'm doing? And when we answer that question, when we grab a hold of that type of thing, we can actually get in to see there is something going on, and it makes a difference. It's really the difference maker in what we're going to be doing and how we're going to be enduring it, how we're going to go through it, how it hits us, right? So what if I said the hardest thing you will ever have to go through will only be worth it if you do it well? Now, what if I said that? What if I said it'll only be worth it if you do it well? I mean, listen. So if you don't go through it in faith, it'll be a wasted conflict. Man, that would be...
That'd be a lot of pressure, wouldn't it? Don't blow it, because if you mess up, it's worthless. Wow, there'd be a lot of pressure in that kind of concept. I do want to say this afternoon. I'm not really sure how well we have to do. Okay, I'm not sure how well we have to do. I think there's a lot of times I didn't do well, right? But I will say that how we come through it, whether we come through it well or not, how we come through it will make a difference in the lives of others. No, not just us, not how it's going to affect us and not how it's going to be for us, but how we go through it, I really believe is what's really going to be the difference maker in others. In what we're going to see. So I want to show you a biblical example of that this afternoon. And so, remember Paul? Remember we talked about him a while back? Do you remember what city he was stoned and left for dead in? What city? Lystra. It was in Lystra. We covered a bunch of different cities there, but it was in Lystra. It's where we found that. If we flip a page back we find in verse 19, chapter 14, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. And so we find he was there. By that time, they were in Lystra. They'd already been to those other cities and they left there. So I imagine that while the Greeks and Jews together, most likely. The scripture doesn't say exactly who does it, but the Jews stirred them up, and the day, some of the words there, the grammar, seems to be that it was both of them together were involved in that. I imagine there were some that did not want it to happen. I imagine there were some that did not want that to. Look at chapter 14 and verse 20. Chapter 14 and verse 20, it says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up." So we find there were disciples there. There were some that wanted to. Maybe they wanted to stop it. But even Barnabas didn't. Right? We don't hear about that side. I think it's again, as I said earlier this morning. I want to know more. Tell me everything about that, right? God said, you don't need to know the rest of it. I've left you the part you need to know. Just move on from it, buddy. That's kind of what I said. But God, can't I find some more information? No, I gave you all you need, right? So there's some things there, but I can imagine things, right? I can imagine a believer, maybe a young man, say somewhere around 20 years old, that kind of a young man. He had a mom that loved Jesus. With a grandma that was full of faith, and she was passing that faith on to her grandson. I imagine someone like that, they would have been there, and maybe there was a dad that didn't trust Christ. Maybe one that, a dad that was even sided with those Greeks that stoned Paul. Maybe. But then one day, this bold preacher stood up and told of the goodness and power of God against all odds, against all favor. We think about sometimes with Paul and Barnabas, they had a pretty good situation if they'd have just kept quiet. They were going to be worshipped. And, they're like, no, we probably shouldn't do that, but okay. Right? Or maybe it could have done something like this. I know it's not really right, but it'll give us opportunity. Right? We'll just go and let them do that. I know it probably shouldn't, but, it'll give us opportunities to minister later. Right? A lot of these things, but, There was This bold preacher stood up and said, no, we can't. We can't allow that. Matter of fact, they seem to be quite disgusted with it. So they had more than an idea. Paul had more than an idea of living for Christ. He was the embodiment of it. I mean, he lived it out. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just write letters. Right? He lived it out. Let me say this. Living out what we say we believe. You with me? Living out what we say we believe has a profound effect on those that desire it but haven't seen it. Do you know how many people have only heard about people living for Jesus Christ? No. All they've ever seen is the Bible stories. They've not... Listen, I'm talking about here in the United States. They've not actually seen people live out a life for Christ. They've heard people tell truths, preach doctrine, right? Talk about these things and these concepts and these ideas and these biblical, proverbs and all these kind of concepts. Loving one another, loving your enemy, as we looked at, the men looked at this morning. We've heard all these kind of things. But very few, can I say that in America today, there's a very low percentage of people that are actually living it out. Some people have almost never seen anyone that's lived it out. They've heard people talking about how important it is and how we kind of like Jesus sometimes, maybe. Right? No. Singing like their soul is stirred. Praised and just magnifying, glorifying in word, but not in deed. Man, how many have seen that? I'm telling you, living out what we say we believe has a profound effect on those that desire it, but just haven't seen it yet. Would to God that we became a living example. Easy life, right? Well, it's one filled with peace. I don't say easy. Easy and hard is kind of a hard thing to say. I can't say living in sin is easy. But living in righteousness does take some sacrifice. Takes surrender. Point number two. The difference made. The difference made. Look at chapter 16, verse 1 again. Then came he to Derbe, and where? Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So now there's Timothy, whose mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. That distinction is on purpose. It's mother was a believer, and she was Jew, but his father was a Greek. So the understanding there is that he wouldn't have been saved. Keep your place here, if you would. And turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Sorry, 2 Timothy. The other Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Jump down to verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt, what's that word? First in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So here he is. He's a young man with a mother and a grandmother with unfeigned faith. Unfeigned. Wouldn't it be awesome to have unfeigned faith? Like, maybe. Sounds like a positive thing. So It really just means sincere faith. It means a true, sincere faith. It means it's not a show. It means it's not just talking about it. It's really faith. Not just faith that talks about having faith. You ever met somebody like that? Right? They talk about faith. They talk about believing Jesus. They talk about living for Jesus. They talk about how much they love Him and serve Him and want Him and believe in Him. And yet they don't live like it at all. And sometimes that person we're talking about is the one looking at us in the mirror. Right? Like, oh yeah, Jesus, stuff, things, follow Him. Yes. Would you do this? Right? Unfeigned faith, it really just means it's a sincere faith. One that is genuine. It's a real thing. Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Growing up with a mother and a grandmother with an unfeigned, with a sincere faith. Like one that, man, they didn't just talk it. They lived it. Well, how do you know it's sincere? Well, you don't have to wonder. That's what unfeigned means. You don't wonder if it's a real faith. You look at them. I can only imagine myself. I can only imagine what that'd be like. It's sad to say. It's sad to say, but we are living in a day in our nation, in our part of the world that we live in, that very few get to the third generation of unfeigned faith. Very few. You're like, wow, you know, I know somebody. Listen, I'm talking about a faith that's sincere. Like grandmother lives a sincere faith and passed it to mother. Mother, and now it's passed to the son. Three generations still continued with that thing. Man, what they had, no doubt, they were sharing with Timothy. It says that what was now in Timothy was first in them. Meaning, really, the concept, the idea, understanding here is that it came from them. And if you've had somebody that you could watch their faith, I think in America today, you're in a rare situation. If you've had this example here, a mother and a grandmother that you watch sincere faith, living out their faith, you've had something that is rare in our world today. Rare. And then let alone, you know, maybe a father or grandfather, these kind of things, others. What an amazing thing. By the grace of God, I want to be in that line. Right? I didn't inherit that, but I can pass it on. Right? You say, well, I haven't been what I ought to be. Well, we'll get to that later. This, though, what we find here is an awesome example of sharing your faith at home. Wonderful example of sharing your faith at home. Maybe what was needed for Timothy to believe or to turn to Jesus or to be sold out for Christ was the manifestation of the power of God, not just in grandma, mother, and grandma, but now to see it in the Apostle Paul. See it in another man, the power of God. Paul enters into their city, into their life, stoned them to death, and stoned to death, unto death, not to death, but unto death, in the hometown of Timothy. But Paul getting up, going on, and continued to live out his life for Jesus, despite the suffering and the shame, was just the beginning for Timothy. It wasn't the end of the story. Wow, that was amazing. You know, sometimes we see something that should move us, stirs us. Man, it stirs us. Wow, God is good. Look what God did there. Man, it's amazing. And you know, sometimes you're in a service that the singing stirs your soul. The message, the word of God, and somebody's testimony, and man, you're just stirred. And you ever been stirred to really just want to go do something for Jesus, and it barely gets it out past the back door? You know what I mean? We'll call that kind of normal in our society, stirred but not moved. But for Timothy, this was a little different. So Paul not only not only begins with this situation, gets stoned and preaches there in boldness, and then preaches, gets stoned and gets up and walks off. But not only that, but he returns to Lystra and exhorts the saints. Could you imagine listening to him preach after that? He comes back sometime later. I don't know how it was. 2 or 3 days over, he preached there in the city, and then he comes back. I don't know, maybe like the next week or something. I mean, I'm sure by then they heard that he had got up because the dead body wasn't there. Right? And people are like, there's probably a lot of chatter. And he's got up. You know, maybe they thought it was like Jesus. No, somebody took the body away to try to say this. Maybe the story started going. And all of a sudden, here he comes walking back. And I'd like to encourage y'all today. Could you imagine how you would listen to him? You wouldn't be sitting back kind of drowsy-eyed. What's the guy? No, you're on the edge of your seat thinking, what has this guy got to say? Guess what? We're reading his stories. Yeah. So we are. And I'm sure he said a lot of other things, but I'll tell you what God recorded for us is what we need. But so he returns there in Acts, again, back in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. So here we are some 2 or 3 years later. Okay, they'd already gone back to Antioch and so forth. And here they are. This is really going to be on their second missionary journey. We're not jumping into that. Just I want to get a little piece of this. So probably 2 or 3 years later, we don't really know. Again, the time frame is a little sketchy to really be certain on. But Timothy, at least by this time, was a disciple. Look at verse 2. Back in verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. So verse 2. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Okay, so he not only believed, but listen, he not only had a godly heritage, but now he also had his own good report. See, no. This is what unfaith faith passes on. See, it doesn't pass on about talking about it. Can I say this to you? It doesn't just pass on church attendance. Y'all with me? Amen? Y'all wait? Amen? Okay, it's a little bit better. It's kind of a deflated. I know it's afternoon. So what unfeigned faith passes on is unfeigned faith. Okay, listen, it's not like this kind of faith that says, hey, let me tell you about what God wants you to do, but you don't do it. If all you, think about this, all you're passing on is what you got. Well, I hope they do better than I did. Well, that's a kind of a pretty lame hope. So you're saying, do as I say, not as I do. Right? The parents that tell their kids not to smoke, most often smoke. Right? The parents tell their kids, well, don't cuss. I cuss. Adults cuss, not kids cuss. Well, kids become cussing teenagers. Right? We pass it on. What you pass on. So here it is. We find this this Timothy, and he's well reported of by the brethren. He's got his own testimony. He's got his own good report by now. I don't know that they maybe. It seems to be that probably likely this family got saved during the time Paul's first missionary journey there. And so here they are, this from 2 or 3 years later. This isn't just like a little bit there. This is some time. Now Timothy has been living it out, what he saw. So does our suffering have a purpose? The answer to that is always. Always has a purpose. Do we always understand it? No. Not always. You ever feel like, kind of like never? rarely. I don't know. We don't always know, but I'm telling you, there's always a purpose in it. Watch what God did with this young man from Lystra. Look at verse 3 now. Him will Paul have to go forth with him. So Paul decides, hey, I want you to come with me. He comes back here. I want you to come along with me. Jump down verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and, what's that word? Increased in number daily. So what we find here, Timothy is now part of this team that goes with Paul that sees a growth numerically. It means people got saved. Church is growing. He gets to be a part of this thing. When we come to the end of 2 Timothy, we find Paul giving him his what Paul's last writings are actually found in 2 Timothy. And we find at the end of that, that's what Paul is given to Timothy. So what's suffering in your life right now? Let me ask this question. What suffering in your life right now is too much to see the work of God continue beyond your life? Okay. Do you want what God's doing in your life to end with you? I don't think there could be any greedier than that. Right? Now, I'm not thinking about leaving my children money. I'm going to spend it. Amen. Because I don't want them to fight over it. I'm just trying to be a blessing. Right? I'm kind of kidding. I don't really care. My heritage isn't going to be about money. Because that's not been my life. But I want my life to go on beyond. I want what I've done for Jesus Christ, what I've put in others, to continue past me. So when I'm gone and I'm no longer breathing air on this planet, that what was invested in others continues beyond. What sufferings would be so much that you'd say, I'm not going to go down that road because it would cost too much to send it all. To send it past me. You know, and I mentioned this before, but I used to think about in the jail ministry when I'd go in there is these criminals. Some that was hard, not just super hard, a lot of them were drugs and different things. We live in a small county jail. They'd come through, passing through, they get caught on the highway or something. But I'd always think, man, there's some grandma. There's some mom or grandma somewhere. They would have never thought this is where their kid would be. Never in their last hope, dream, or nightmare would they expect their child to be now sitting in jail. And I wonder, and I'd also think about this, because this is the way my mind works, I always kind of process stories like. And I'd often think, I wonder if that mom and grandma would sit there thinking, I wished I would have, fill in the blank. I wished I would have just, I don't think there's too many of us that wouldn't have some regrets. There isn't anything that comes into our lives that is so big that God will not deliver us from it. Let's go back over there to 2 Timothy again. Chapter 3. This is the last writings of Paul. After this, he's going to die. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, talking to Timothy, and he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." You know, he said, Timothy, you know me. You know, you fully know what I've taught. He said, you know my manner of life. Right. You were, if he wasn't there, he certainly was in the city where I was stoned to death. You've known my purpose. You know what I've been about. You know my faith. You know my long-suffering. You know my charity. You know my patience. You know me. He said, you know my persecutions. Man, do you know those? My afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about there. You know what I suffered right there. You know what I did? You know Paul's using his testimony. He's not bragging about it. You know how awesome I am. Remember back there when they stoned me and they drug me out of the city? No, he said, you know about me. You know what I've been through, right? What persecutions I endured. Cool. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You know what he's saying? He's not saying how great. You know what all I did for you, buddy. That's not what he's saying. You know what he's saying? Timothy, you know. You know what God delivered me from. Paul wasn't saying, I want you to tell everybody about Paul. He wasn't saying, I want you to tell everybody about how great I endured. He said, you know, I want you to remember that God delivered me from all of that. Here's our conclusion this afternoon. First of all, you have the opportunity, you and I have the opportunity right now to be the difference maker in someone's life. No, we do. We have the opportunity, you and I, right now, right today, in our life, right now, where you might say, "Well, I blew it. I missed it. I didn't do all those things, and I should have been that, and I didn't that. You know, whatever. We all got. But listen, you and I have the opportunity right now to be the difference maker in someone's life right now, and that someone may be people living in your home. Maybe someone living in your home. That's what we're talking about here. It might be someone sitting here in this building. Like, I live alone, I don't think it's me. You know, well, there's other people here. People are here. You have the opportunity to be a difference maker right here. Maybe somebody you work with. I mean, you work out in the world, there's probably not a lot of super godly Christians with unfeigned faith in your workplace. Right? You think, oh yeah, there's this. No, there's not. No. You work alone, you're like, yeah, there is. No. Who is waiting to see real faith lived out in you? Now listen, folks, I want you to think about that just for you for a moment. Who in your life are you the only person that has even the chance of living out faith in front of them? Who is it? Who is waiting to see unfeigned faith because they've not seen it anywhere else? They're looking to you. So, second thing, rise up and continue on. Right? I know it sounds easy. but it's challenging, isn't it? Rise up and continue on. I will not arise up and continue on if it's just about me. I just won't. I get tired. I get tired and say, you know what? I'm all right. I'm going to do me right here. I'm tired. I don't feel like it. You ever felt like that? Yeah. If it's just about me, I'm more likely to surrender. but is so much more than me. It's a young man that is waiting for faith to be lived out in someone else. Maybe it's a young lady waiting to see what unfeigned faith looks like in someone's life. Heard about it. I've heard about it. I've heard people talk about it. I've heard it preached about. I've read about it. But I've not actually seen it. Maybe the challenge and difficulty that you're facing is exactly what you're facing right now is exactly what is needed for someone else to see this unfeigned faith. Yeah, but can't they see me live like glorious? Well, it's just easier to see us when we're in trouble. Sometimes the greatest thing you will do in this world is not what you do, but what you influence others to do. Jesus said in John 14:12, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Jesus' influence led Paul to continue on. Paul's influence led Timothy to continue past Paul's life. Whose life? Here's our challenge this afternoon. Whose life are you investing in that will continue beyond yours? Let's all stand. Father, I pray that you would help us today. Lord, I pray that you would, even at this very moment, Lord, that you would lay on each of our hearts and in our minds, and even right now, put an image and a thought. Maybe we've already come up with that person in our mind. And Lord, we are thinking about that person right now. Who it is that we are investing on, whose life will continue, the ministry for Jesus Christ will continue on past ours. And so, Lord, I pray that you would encourage us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd stir us. Lord, that we might first pray for ourselves, Lord, that we would have that unfeigned faith, sincere, living it out, not just talking about it. And then, Lord, that that we would have the courage to share our testimony, to talk to others about what you're doing in our life, that we might pass that on, that faith that was first in us, to pass it on to others. So Lord, I pray that you'd stir in our hearts this time of invitation. Lord, we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. The altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart, maybe he's put someone in your mind. I trust he has. Would you pray that you would be that one? Pray that you can get that across to them. And then maybe you're thinking, I'm not sure who that person is. Ask God to give you that person. set my soul apart, Lord. Set my soul apart. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to be seated just for a moment.